I get a lot of questions here at Equipped to Be on what to do when your tweens or teens get into trouble. And I'm not just talking about they break a curfew. I mean, they really do get in trouble. They're not obeying you or their teacher, even other authorities. They just are, for all intents and purposes, just kind of hell-bent on doing what they want, when they want, how they want, and the way they want. And in society, in our homes, that simply just doesn't work. So that's going to be the focus of today's podcast. You're listening to Equipped to Be. I'm your host, Connie Albers. And as I said previously, I get a lot of questions, probably because I've written the book, Parenting Beyond Rules, Raising Teens with Confidence and Joy. Now, there's a purpose in that book. One, I want you to have confidence and joy in raising your tweens and teens. But I also want your teens and tweens to have confidence when they get ready to step outside of your house. I notice on social media and pretty much in mom circles, I've been working with teens and high school, college kids for well over three decades. And the interesting part that I want you to hear is this is pretty common. Some kids tend to find trouble easier than others. It is very uncommon to have a child go all the way through childhood just kind of picture perfect. It's nearly impossible. And it's not because they're bad kids, but because they're growing up. So I get this question so often. We're here in this season. It's spring break. I know kids are wanting to go out, and sometimes they can get themselves in trouble. They can be introduced to drugs or alcohol. They could get into mischief. Sometimes when a group of them get together and they start acting foolishly, what do you do? I'm going to give you some suggestions. I do write a lot about this in the book, Parenting Beyond the Rules, but I want to give you some other suggestions that maybe aren't in the book and expand on this a little bit. These are really practical, very relevant, and things haven't changed much over the years. What has changed is the availability and access, as well as the community, the society as a whole, how it has truly been flipped up on its ear. But that doesn't mean we should lose heart or hope, because we're raising our children, and you are able to keep the heart of your child in a world that has absolutely gone bonkers. The first thing I want to say, I see this a lot. Parents will take to social media. Sometimes it's to ask for a prayer request. I get that. Man, in the past few years, less and less people are involved in their local churches. Maybe they follow people online, but those aren't people who know their family. They're usually one-sided conversations, or they're community forums. A lot of the, you know, sharing of information, you know, hey, how do I get help with this? What do I do if my child's breaking curfew? You know, what do I do if I'm on my last nerve with a child? You know, what do I do? So there's a lot of community boards that people will post stuff. And over the last, I guess, a good solid year, I've really been focused on what is happening inside of these boards. And it's a little concerning, because we, as a parent, you really don't know what to do or how to address issues when your children aren't doing what you've asked them to do. They've gotten involved. They've surrounded themselves with a group of friends that is not good for them. Maybe they don't have the same values that your family has. Maybe they're involved in more activities that are not what's best for the kid, for your child, or for any of them. And we do know that when our children are surrounded by a group of friends or people their age, peers, they can often do things that they otherwise wouldn't do because they feel empowered and emboldened. They're cheered on. Some kids do things for laughs. Some kids do things to be popular. Some kids do things to fit in. Some kids do things because they want to be liked and loved. Or they feel like they have a place that, man, this is the friends group that gets me. Those are the topics. Those are the things we want to get to the heart of why our kids are doing things. The first thing I want to tell you, as I was alluding to social media, do not, unless they are like your tightest, most closest besties, don't post your kids' struggles in those forums. That stuff never goes away. And I'm sure many of you have probably read all the terms of service and all of these platforms, but most people don't. That stuff lives on forever. Why is it when somebody is doing something, and let's say the media or an adversary goes after them, they can dig up their past indiscretions, past girlfriends, what they did in school. You're like, how do they know that? Well, because it lives forever. And we think sometimes if we just clear history, cash everything out on their computers, that it's just going to go away. It doesn't. That's why I'm strongly encouraging you not to post your children's bad behavior. If they're rebelling, if they've done something wrong, don't share it on public forums. You do not know who's scrolling in those forums. You do not know who's screen saving what you said. You do not know who may be archiving it. You don't know who's trolling, stalking, and it could absolutely come back and harm your kids later on. Not only that, your kids could become very resentful for you for sharing such private information. I know we need help. I get it. That is not the place to do it. You could do an anonymous a friend, but most people know if you're talking about a friend, it's usually about your child. I want to give you a strong heed to being careful with what you post and how you phrase things and what you share about your kids' shortcomings. Your kids stop at a certain spot in other people's minds. Now, people say, Connie, I really don't care what people think. Well, okay, well, you share all about you, anything you want about you, because you're the one that doesn't care. But your kids might care, and they may care greatly. And can I just have you consider, you do not want your relation to blow up because you were posting information that was private about their lives. There are helps available. You could have conversations with people that you know, that you trust, that you like, that is not in a public forum. So I've said this for a long time, and I'm seeing it more and more. If you've noticed, when you go and you follow Connie Albers, you go over to my Facebook page or my Instagram, Pinterest, any of those, I don't talk a whole lot. And I, in my book, Parenting Beyond the Rules, I didn't tell my kids' stories. It's their story. And they can choose to share their story or not. But it's not mine to tell. So what do we do? I want you to remember this every time you get discouraged and you want to reach out on a public social media platform for help. Be very, very careful what you say. And if you're mad at your child because they've ticked you off, because they know better, and you may not realize you're doing this, but you're kind of wanting to get a vent a little bit, don't vent on social media. That's not the place. You'll hurt and harm your relationship with your child. And in some cases, it can be irreparable. I mean, the Lord can always fix everything. But the first thing you do is pray. You ask the Lord. God is the architect. He created and designed your family. He gave you that child. He knows that child way better than you. And you spend all your time with them. He still knows them better than you. So start with that, and then talk to your spouse if you're married, or your family, your parents, aunts, uncles, others that know you, know your kids very well. Talk to them first. Keep going back in prayer. Talk to your kids. So this is where we're going to get into some other parts of it, but that is an important part. Social media has become quite the cesspool of bullying, taking people down. It's almost like a sport. And I don't want your kids to be caught up in that. And by you not doing that, you're showing your kids respect. You're also showing them that they can trust you with their secrets, with whatever they've done that they have shared with you. They know they can trust you, that you're not going to go blurt it out to the world. That's important. Now, if your kids tell you, hey, mom, ask them your friends, that's a different story. But even then, be careful in what you say. Protect their reputation. They're growing. They're changing. They will not be the same person in a year that they are today. They certainly won't be the same person in 5 years. You would not want something that they did in the foolishness or in the impulsive nature of a teenager where they did things they never would have done. You would not want that to follow them for the rest of their lives. You would not want it to follow you for the rest of your life. So what do you do when your teen gets in trouble? Well, there's some things. One, we're going to start with communication. And what we don't want to do is like, you know better. Well, of course they know better. You've been teaching them. This is where your adultness comes into the play. And going to, well, that's not appropriate. Well, they probably know that's not appropriate as well. But sometimes they do, and they still make that decision because they are still undeveloped teens. It is troubling what I see happening in our youth culture. Because their brains are not fully developed, they do not have adult reasoning skills. They can be tempted, they can be cajoled, they can be encouraged to do things they would never do in their right mind. But because they are not a mature adult mind, they can be easily influenced. So keep those two things in mind, communication and keeping in mind what were the conditions, what were the surroundings, who were they with. We also have to remember that there is a unique set of challenges that our kids are facing now. Yes, our kids, their brains are not fully developed, but you know what else? They're exposed to more information in a minute than you and I ever were. They're bombarded with opinions and ideals. And I'll tell you the truth, people can be extremely good at influencing our children with what seems like logic and reasoning, but our kids don't have the ability, not all of them, to be able to break it down and analyze it. But teenagers also process information differently. I have 5 children. What one child hears when they were a teenager, the other would not hear. They would not see it that way. They would not think that way. Some of my children and some of your kids, they follow the rules. They like following the rules. They find comfort in that, security, safety. And yet there are other kids that risk is their middle name. Adventure, creation, exploration, how close to the line or how far over the line can I get before something happens? And the mindset of a teenager is, I'm invincible. That's not going to happen to me. That happens to other people. I'm too smart. I'm not going to let that happen. And we know that they're ideal candidates for that to happen. There is a period of development, though, that can lead to that impulsive behavior and the ability to manage their emotions. It's why they could break out into a fight or a yelling match, or they can throw things and break things or punch their hand through the door because they haven't learned to regulate their emotions. And they see other youth in classrooms, in youth groups, in society, on TV, on TikTok, on whatever platform. And if you say, well, my kids aren't on social media, your children might not be, but their friends, their cousins, their grandparents, the people that they do life with are, or probably are, and your children can get exposed to ideas and situations that you wouldn't approve of, that's not part of your family. It happens. Don't think that you're immune to it. Be prepared for it. Know what you're going to do should something happen. Have a game plan. Probably when your kids were little, you had a fire plan. Like if a fire broke out in our house, here's the fire drill. This may sound kind of crazy. My kids knew our fire drill. If something happened, the older kids knew that they were supposed to grab a younger child, or they were supposed to do this, or somebody was supposed to call 911, or they knew the whole plan of if an emergency happened. Do your children, your teens, your tweens, do they know you have a plan? Have you talked about if your kids find themselves in a situation they're not comfortable in? If your kids find themselves being tempted by drugs or alcohol, or surrounded by a group of kids who's up to mischief, maybe it's fun to break into somebody's house. Kids are doing more egregious things than they've ever done in the past on a larger scale. They've done them. They've always been the few. But now it's more, and it's being viewed as okay, fun. It's an adrenaline rush. Well, that can follow your kids and totally destroy their future careers. So we want to talk about this with our children. But the period of development that leads to that impulsive behavior and difficulty in managing their emotions are something that needs to be explained to a child and just through conversation. Teenagers' behavior and their signs, if they're having more serious issues, you'll notice that. if you've noticed, and I've talked about this before, I'll probably list those in the show notes. And remember, everything we talk about, I'm going to have them over in the show notes. And I'll list some relevant topics that I've done some topics on resolving conflict, helping your kids manage struggles and trials and stuff like that. I'll link those in the show notes as well. But you can tell if your children are getting involved with substance abuse or if they're depressed, if you start to see mental health problems. Now, I'm not a mental health coach, counselor, I'm not licensed in any way, but I am a mom of many, and I have worked with kids for a long time. You can tell if a child is not acting their normal self. You can tell if they slur their words, if their eyes are bloodshot, if they're stumbling, if they're sleeping an inordinate amount of time, if they talk or write or journal about sad, depressing, destructive things. The kids give you clues, but you have to be watching for them. You have to make note of them. And in our hurried paced society, sometimes we can think, oh, it's just an age, it's just a stage, it's just a phase. No, it may not be. Kids leave clues and you got to watch for them. So it's important that you are able to note that and address it. Don't let it go. Watch and observe, make note of it. Literally make a note in your journal. And you guys know I've talked to you about journaling a lot. And when you have open, engaging conversation and you use an empathetic type of tone, not a judgmental, not a, well, you know better, you're going to be in big trouble. That's the fastest way to get kids to not talk to you. It's also the hardest thing for you to do because everything in you is furious at their poor judgment. Can you think back to maybe a time where you had poor judgment? Can you remember back to your teen years? And if you were a teen who didn't get in trouble because you were a rule follower and you never wanted to get in trouble, that may not be your child. Their middle name may be Risk. But when you have this type of conversation and communications, you've got to establish clear boundaries, very clear boundaries. And sometimes you need to get some outside help. Maybe it's through your pastor or your youth director. Maybe it's through a counselor. Maybe it's through some organization that you have access to. If you start seeing serious signs that your kids could be troubled, they're going in a wrong direction, maybe they're starting to get in more and more fights, maybe they're fighting with you a little bit more. When I said earlier, it's common for our kids to act up and act out at some point in their childhood, whether it's, you know, two-year-old tantrums or middle school meltdowns or teenage tantrums. I often say sometimes teenagers can have the same tantrums a two-year-old has. And you think, what happened? You just went backwards. It's because they're still learning. They haven't figured it all out. And there's a lot of pressure on them by their peers. Which is why last week I did a show on building friendship, and I talked to you about friends in their life. You have to be careful who your kids are befriending and who is surrounding them. The ones that you think are probably, oh man, they're perfect. I want them to be like that child. I want them to be friends with them because they're such a good kid. Be careful because some of that could be nothing but a show. That child has learned the art of manipulation. They've learned the art of getting around and speaking a language that their parents think that they're just doing okay, but behind their back, they're into all manner of trouble. I remember once when my kids were little, I said to them, why don't you be like, look at that one. That child is so sweet, kind. They're so respectful to their parents. I'll never forget the day my kid turned around and looked at me. You don't know what they do behind their parents' back. And that was a wake-up call for me. Our kids know what's going on in other kids' lives. You don't. And they can put on a good show. And guess what? So can your kids. And we don't like to think about that, but it does happen. Think about people you work with, people that you are doing life with. Some people maybe your kids are in school with, or if you're homeschooling like I was. There's people who put on a great show, and the minute you turn around, they're bashing and trashing your reputation, or they're putting you up for things, or they're accusing you of things. That happens. That's what's common. And we have to teach our children to be wise and discerning, to be a good judge of character. We need to teach our children there are friendships that build us up, and there are friends, so-called friends, that tear us down. And we absolutely have to show them what that looks like and what they need to do. arm them, prepare them, give them the tools that they need to be able to discern what friendships are good for them and will help them in their journey and in their race, and what friendships could get them in trouble or take them down, meaning bring them down, put them up to do things they would not otherwise do. What do you do when your kids are disobeying you? And they do, and they will. Some will be blatant, and I call them the passive, you know, they're very active. They let you know, I'm not going to do that. Or that's stupid. No, we never said stupid in our home. That's stupid. We're not going to do that. I think that's ridiculous. Why do we have to do this? Well, because that's our family, and this is how we do life. That's our family. This is our family. They do life differently. That family over there does things differently than our family. We're not their family. And maybe you would like to live in their family, but that's not the family God put you in. When your kids start to obey you or they start breaking the rules, it's important for you to understand the underlying cause. If you are going through a tumultuous time in your family, let's say there's a divorce or a separation, or there's been a financial setback, or maybe you're working more hours, you just don't have time because you're working so hard, you're trying to stay afloat. I get it. That happens. There's usually a reason why, and we have to get to that reason. Does that make sense? We have to go there. We have to find out. It may not be easy to get it out of your child, especially if, let's say, you're part of the problem. I've had so many parents tell me that was the number one thing when I was writing Parenting Beyond the Rules, was that my parents didn't listen to me. And the more I work with kids, the more I speak and I teach and I listen to parents and I work with kids, teenagers especially, I hear the same thing. My parents don't listen to me. All they try to do is fix me. Well, we do want to fix our children, right? And we often think we can solve their problems in three simple steps. Yes, we can, but that isn't effective. That's not what they need. They need the tools to learn how to solve those problems themselves. And that's what we have to provide. Because our kids are seeking independence, but they're not ready to be completely independent. They don't have the development, the brain development, the maturity level to be that. Some obviously are further along than others. Some of them naturally are just very responsible kids and some not so much. Sometimes there's just some unmet needs that is happening with them and they don't know how to handle it. So they act up and act out. But when you have some strategies that are clear, you have consistent boundaries, you know, it's not what works for one works for the other. That is true. But the boundaries of, well, listen, we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't sneak out the window. If I ask you a question, I expect honesty. The boundaries of this is the curfew. And when you show that you are responsible with that, that you can be trusted with that, then we can give you more. That's just growth and maturity. That's not a hard set of rigid boundaries. Consistent boundaries is if you tell your child, this is how we do things, and they understand it, and they make a clear, conscious decision to disregard those, that's where the boundaries I'm talking about. That's where they say, hey, listen, we laid this out. This is our family. This is how we do things. You're choosing to do things differently. Let's talk about it. If you don't agree with it, is there validity to what you're saying? If not, listen, this is how we do things. When that day comes and you're on your own and you're living your best life on your own, well, then you can do whatever you want. But this is how we do things in our home. And I realize you may not like that, but that's okay. Because I'm responsible for you. And I love you. And I want what's best for you. When we love our children and we go after them in a way of kindness and love and graciousness, it's hard for our kids to resist when they know our motive, our sole reason for doing what we're doing is not about control. It's about loving them. We've got to model this. We've got to be willing to say, is there something that I can do? Is there something that I can change? Is there a way I could say it that you would understand what I'm saying, that you would know my heart? See, in our kids' relationships, when our teens act up, act out, when our teen has gotten in trouble, we've got to go back to the root. Can we stop it? Can we prevent it from happening in all cases? No. Can we address it when it happens? Yes. Are we going to take to social media? No. Are we going to tell our kids' stories to others? No. Can we get advice? Yes. We have to be discerning and discreet. We have to protect our children because they're going to grow up and become adults and productive citizens of society. We want to protect our relationship with them. We want them to know that we trust them, we love them, accept them. Even if trust has been broken, trust can be rebuilt. It can actually be rebuilt stronger than it ever was. So yeah, if our kids are not doing what they should be doing and they've broken that trust, it's going to take more effort on their part to rebuild it. But that doesn't mean we always hold it over them. Well, you know, you're the one who did it. Who wants that rub back in their face? No one. Be careful when you say that to your kids. Don't say that to your children. You know, sometimes we make decisions and it takes a while for us to repair, to put back together what was once there. And that's what we're trying to do here. If your strategies, if all that you've been modeling, if all the ways that I have suggested aren't working, you've gone to them, you've talked to them, you've changed friend groups. If they're hanging around a bad group of friends that are doing nothing but getting your child to just making bad decisions, you can't blame it on the friends because your child did the activities, but you may need to change your friend group. Now, that could be difficult if they go to the same school and those are the same kids in their class. That can be very difficult, but not impossible. But it takes a lot more effort for you to help your children see that the path that group of friends is on is not the path that will be setting your child up to be successful in adulthood. And I'm not just talking about finances. Ask the Lord to intervene. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom, to give you discernment. Ask the Lord to prepare your child's heart for a conversation with you. Ask the Lord to give you insights that you might not otherwise know, but because God is the architect and he's formed and fashioned your child, he's wired your child in the way that they are and who they are, and it's your goal to teach and train them in the way they should go. You're the parent. You're the one that is responsible for them. I don't care what society says. You're the parent. You need to be the parent, and it's hard to parent. It's just plain and simple. But when your children know that you are for them, when you're going to protect their reputation, you're going to protect them, that you're willing to change a lot of things in order to help your children navigate the season, they will start to turn to you. Will it be immediate? In some cases, yes, but in some cases, no. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've been dealing with a child who's resisted and pushed away and pulled away, who is just bent on doing their own thing and they don't want anything to do with your values. That's when you need to truly be crying out to the Lord, and it's when you need to seek some help. Get some help. Someone that your child can talk to that maybe isn't you, that they can share what's going on in their heart, the struggles, the trials, the challenges that they're facing. But you got to get to the root of the situation. When your child starts acting up, acting out, if it's just normal foolishness that, you know, hey, they've done it once and they're like, that was a really bad idea. That was dumb. That's one thing, but it's a pattern. So look for a pattern. Look at the friends group. Look at what you can do. Have the conversation multiple times from different ways. Be thinking about how you're saying it to your child so that they hear that you love them unconditionally, that you want what's best for them no matter what, and that you're going to walk with them through this. You're not going to cut them off or cut them out. And let them know change is possible. God is in the business of restoring and repairing and rebuilding. And that's part of what we can do. Those are some key strategies of what we can do during the teen years as our children are trying to grow up into the person they are meant to be and they're not fully developed brain-wise because they're just teenagers. I hope this has helped you. If you know somebody who has a teen or a tween and they're struggling or they've maybe come out of a struggle, maybe this is for you, please share it with them. Let them know. And get Parenting Beyond the Rules. I do talk more in depth about what we can do, but those are some important aspects of helping a child that's going through those tumultuous teen years. They don't have to be terrible. They don't have to be tragic. They can have some struggles. You can get through them and you can build an amazing relationship with that child as they go through those and head on into the adult life. So thanks for tuning into this episode of Equipped to Be, and we'll see you next time. Well, that wraps up this episode of Equipped to Be. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with a friend or family member and hit subscribe so you don't miss a show. And thank you again for joining me. Remember that we are equipped for every season of life.